This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Truth Social himself. This is Congressman, former Congressman Devin Nunes, 22 California, the San Joaquin Valley. Now the guru executive of Truth Social, where the First Amendment is practiced. That seems an odd compliment, because isn't that what the United States of America was built upon? Yes, it is. You're right. However, other social media platforms have struggled with the First Amendment these last pandemic years. Truth Social, perhaps lucky enough to come post-pandemic, does not struggle. Devin, a very good evening to you. Mr. Twitter himself, Elon Musk, was not in the news this week, so you had it all to yourself. The object here is to grow the platform into 24. What's going to happen is it will explode once we get into partisan warfare. Of significance this week was a new entry into the Republican Party contest for the presidential nomination, Nikki Haley. Does this change the calculation about 24? It doesn't look to me to be any different than 20 or 16. A lot of people are going to get in. Good evening to you, Devin.
Thanks, John. Yeah, I'd say the only difference between now and 16 is that President Trump is the leader of the Republican Party, despite what maybe some in Republican leadership in Washington want to believe. He's got a tremendous movement. He carries a lot of weight. I mean, still in all the polling, he's you know, better than 60% in most places. And, you know, I travel a lot around the country, and this is it's a very interesting political movement. You know, you mentioned Truth Social. Truth Social was created largely because, well, I would say entirely because Donald Trump was booted off of all the social media platforms. And so you'll have a lot of people that are trying to get in the race, Republicans that are trying to get in the race. You know, some I think are going to be also ran. Some will, I think, look disloyal to the other, probably owe their political careers to Donald Trump. And, you know, as long as, you know, things stay consistent and, you know, I think this, the trajectory that we're on, I think it's pretty tough to knock Donald Trump off. You know, he's far in a better position than what he was in 2016. And one is that he's got a clear track record. And, you know, you hear this often that, you know, a lot of people wish that they had Trump back in terms of the economy and everything else. And, you know, now you see polling that has Biden actually down to Trump. And so that's not a good place to be for Biden when you're, you know, 2 years out from the election at this point. So we'll see what happens. I don't think Nikki Haley, who was in the Trump administration for a couple of years, I think she's seen as somebody who's on the center left of the Republican Party. So I don't know if there's a spot for her, but a lot of the Never Trump are supporting her. She's very capable. I've only met her a couple times, former governor of South Carolina. And so I'm guessing a lot of these people are trying to get in early to see if they can make any waves. And that's what we're seeing right now.
It is the year before. I remind myself that President Trump didn't announce his candidacy until June of 2015, which was considered late. So between now and June, there is expected to be a number of candidates announcing, perhaps senators, perhaps governors. Certainly the governor of Florida is understood to be a candidate. I wanted to mention, however, no matter how many candidates there are, the Republicans are keeping their primary order of battle. I bring this up because the Democrats have just profoundly changed theirs. Iowa first, then New Hampshire, then South Carolina, and then the deluge follows. Does that give an advantage to the Republican Party now that the Democrats have walked away from Iowa and leading with New Hampshire?
Well, it seems to me like they're just going down the road of identity politics even more so. So, you know, they've doubled, if there's such a thing as tripling or quadrupling down on their identity politics, that's what they're doing. And I think you're going to see more campaigns run from the basement. You saw that obviously with Joe Biden. You saw that in Arizona, where Kerry Lake, the Republican nominee, was very high profile, but the Democrat candidate would not debate at all. So they're really looking at the California style of governing, which is hard left, Everybody's registered, ballots everywhere, put all the focus into ballot harvesting and lock the candidates down, control the fake news, control the narratives, and then pump it right into their veins with Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and maybe Twitter. We'll see if how much Twitter can change. Elon Musk is still having some problems with his algorithms. And then on the other side of that stands True Social, where we don't use an algorithm and we're open and open to free speech and political debate. And that's the fight. That's where we, you know, that's why I left Congress, and that's the fight we're in. And we'll see where the cards lay. It's basically the propaganda machine versus the right for people to, you know, fully get all the facts. And that's the duel that we're in right now. And we'll see. It's, you know, if you look in California, John, it's gone the wrong direction. We talk about it a lot on your show, but California keeps getting worse while you see other states that are getting better for Republicans that are turning redder. And that possibly is what you're seeing in Iowa, where the Democrats, it doesn't fit their identity politics. It's an agricultural state, you know, state that hasn't really grown a lot in population. Largely a white population, and it seems like they're, you know, they really don't care about that. They're going to focus on the blue states. Iowa used to be one of those kind of purple states, but it's turning red, and it looks like they've abandoned it.
The puzzle about leaving Iowa out is that that is a conversation about synthetic fuel, about glucose in the fuels, the mix, 10%. It's also a conversation about agrarian America, the farmers. So it's not just Iowa they're leaving out. They're skipping the farm belt. That's in California. That's in the neighboring states of Iowa. It's a whole category of American voter that whoever the lead candidate is for the Democrats, and right now it looks like it'll only be President Biden, it looks like he doesn't want to talk to the farmers. Now, I know they don't mean it that way, but that would be an interpretation.
Yeah, look, this is what I was saying about it's the city states versus the rest of America. They're heavily reliant on their votes going to come out of places like Atlanta, what you talk about a lot, the collar counties outside in the ring around Philadelphia and for Pennsylvania, Chicago, Los Angeles in the Bay Area, New York City. So the Democratic Party, it's largely based on identity politics, where you have a lot of people. It's easy to control it's easy to take over the election architecture, especially when you give ballots to everyone, put harvesters out on the street. So they don't really care about the facts, about, you know, how the country works, how we get oil, how we get gas, how we move things, how we produce electricity, how things grow. What it takes to actually run a country, because they're only interested in controlling those city states that have the votes. And they've entirely written off rural America in its entirety. And that's been a trend since I entered politics 25 years ago. And as I said, John, if there's such a thing as tripling and quadrupling down on it, they're doing it. They think they have the recipe for success, which is these high volume of ballots in a small concentrated area. You force feed in the propaganda and you go pick up the ballots. It's a pretty damn good system, in order to win elections, but it's a damn poor system for building a strong economy in a great country that's powerful, that's based on common sense and hard work and things that actually work in the real world, and not some identity politics world of fog and craziness of whether or not, you know, a boy can, you know, join a women's sports and that sort of thing. But that's where they're going.
Well, here's the puzzle for me, Devin, thinking about the Electoral College map. And I follow what you say about identity politics. By bypassing Iowa and New Hampshire, you're giving the Republicans an easy opportunity to control the narrative in those states prior to the election, meaning the big advantage in New Hampshire. You know, that's always a close contest, very close. There's no imbalance there, and they have a very popular governor, Governor Sununu, who has the state apparatus. That's four electoral votes. Giving up Iowa, that's six electoral votes. And then what you have is South Carolina, which comes third for the Republicans. That's a solid red state. You're not gaining any advantage by starting your primaries as a Democrat in South Carolina. So what is
that? Oh, yes. No, you are, John. So that's it's a good point to but it's nuanced. So you're right in that South Carolina is not going to be won by a Republican by a Democrat. But what South Carolina is there is it is largely African American population in South Carolina. So the Democratic Party there is largely made up of African Americans. And what this is about, once again, identity politics. And Biden, you know, credits South Carolina with his ability to win the Democratic primary last time. And so they're all in identity politics. So South Carolina creates a different dynamic where you can go in and play that identity politics card. And Biden believes that he's very popular with African-American voters. And that's why they moved that up to the beginning. So Biden can start with a solid win that, you know, he might not be able to get in you know, other states that are, you know, maybe more left wing, you know, like a California where maybe a Gavin Newsom would run, you know, something along those lines. You know, so they're going to go where you have a monolithic one part of their party where they think Biden is very strong. And that's with African Americans.
It's early days, but it's always exciting to be early in a presidential contest. I'm speaking to Devin Nunes, the executive, the guru of Truth Social, where the First Amendment is practiced routinely without comment. It's right there. You have a dissenting opinion? Welcome. We're going to turn to the politics of the moment that are entirely based on a balloon. And so Around the World in 80 Days was the balloon of my childhood, a wonderful movie about eccentric people taking a balloon all across the world trying to reach their a destination by train, by horse, and eventually by balloon to cross the Himalayas. But we're going to cross America in a balloon when we come back. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.